There's a lot of different doctrines going around, different theories, amen, that permeate our religious world. But tonight, we want to discuss one of them. And is it possible to fall from grace? We need to know the truth on the subject. Martin Luther was, it said, peace if possible, truth at all costs.
Amen.
And that's what we want to speak to you tonight. Is it possible to fall from grace? We need to know the truth on this subject. One such teaching is that once people get saved, they're always saved. Amen. Regardless of what sin they would commit. That is the doctrine that's being taught by many in our religious world.
Amen.
And I say the teaching is very dangerous.
Yes.
As those who teach such a doctrine are doing what the Apostle Peter said, they wrest the scriptures.
Yes.
Turn with me to 2 Peter, chapter number 3, verse number 13, beginning. Listen to what Peter writes. Nevertheless, we according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of him in peace without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Peter said, rest the scriptures. Psalm 56 and 5 says, every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. What is the psalmist saying? He's saying all day long, they twist my words, trouble my affairs. All their thoughts are against me for evil and my hurt. They hurt or they twist and distort the scriptures to mean something different.
Yes.
Well, where did this teaching, how did it arrive? Where did this teaching actually come from? Well, let's go right back to creation. We know it certainly didn't come from God. Amen. It didn't come from Jesus. So where did it appear? Where did this teaching, once in grace, always in grace, where did it first appear? Go right back to the beginning in the book of Genesis. Genesis, the 3rd chapter, and we're going to read this doctrine right here. Genesis 3 and 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. I want you to notice the serpent is the devil, used by the devil. Amen. And which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye should not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye should not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that what the serpent said was a lie. Now he's not talking about literal death, amen, but rather he's talking about spiritual death. Someone might disagree with me and say that's when physical death came in the picture, but physical death always was a part of man's makeup.
Yes.
Turn with me to Genesis 1:27. Let's read it. Let's go back to the creation again, right in the 1st chapter, Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image, speaking of the soul now, In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. Verse 28. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Well, what does the word replenish mean? When you replenish something, what does it mean? It simply means to refill, to restock, to replace, or to fill. Well, what kind of death took place in the garden when sin entered? Isaiah 59:1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities has separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. What separates man from God? Sin. What separated man in the beginning? It was sin. But what did the serpent say? You shall not surely die. That was in direct contradiction to what God had said. Well, let's look how some of the scriptures get twisted and how they get distorted tonight. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Just a couple of verses there. Romans, the 6th chapter, verse number 1. Paul is really asking a question and he answers it himself. And in the first verse, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? His answer, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? God's grace was not given as a reason to sin, but a reason not to sin. Then there's a thought of Christian liberty. People always want Christian liberty. Amen. And that liberty is for the flesh. And ones are using Christian liberty as an occasion for the flesh. Amen. I say there's nothing new in religion. Ones do it yet today. Why do they do it today? They don't want any restraint.
Right.
They want to dress however they feel like it, go where they want, do what they want, act however they want, and still have God accept them. Now, we want to look at the doctrine for a while. We're on the subject again. I want to repeat it now. Once in grace, always in grace. Is that truth? Is that for real? Those who teach once in grace, always in grace, are really distorting the scriptures. Now, it sounds good to the nominal church goer. What really the doctrine is saying, if one decides to quit going to church, quit reading his Bible, praying and decides to take a break. Take a break from serving God. Otherwise, what they're saying is he's still in grace. And if even physical death would come upon him in that condition, he still would make heaven his home. Now, that's very comforting as far as the flesh is concerned. But is it true? What they're saying is, it's like God gave them a license. Amen. He gives a license to those who claim salvation and continue to sin. And what that is saying is, let me give you an example. Two men could be sitting in a bar room. One was saved a few years back, had a good experience, but he backslid. He's sitting in the bar room, a sight of a man who was not saved, never made a profession of religion. And really what that doctrine is saying, they're both doing the same thing. But the man that was saved once at one time in his life, he's still going to go to heaven. That's far from the truth.
Mm-hmm.
What did Paul say? God forbid.
God forbid.
How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein. And to believe that doctrine, one would have to completely disregard the scriptures and the testimonies of those who have lost out and come back to the Lord. I can give you an example. My wife and I both lost out with the Lord at one time when we started in the beginning to serve Him. And you would never convince us that we were still saved. Why? Because we lived in condemnation. Now, what's the Bible say about condemnation? The Bible says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In our condition, there was no way you would have convinced us we were still saved. Amen. And if we did think that, we no doubt would have stayed in sin. Condemnation can only be removed by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What is condemnation? Guilt. A feeling of wrong. When one is saved, can they really fall from grace? Well, let's let the Word of God speak. Never mind what theologians say, the world says, religionists say. Let's see what the Word of God says, because that is the final authority, and that is what will judge us at the final judgment. Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse number 1 beginning. Paul writes this, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." Paul said this, fallen from grace, not with grace, or not in grace, fallen from grace. We know that the Galatian brethren started out right, but Judaizers were convincing them that they also need to pick up part of the law, amen, in circumcision. The Galatians had been set free from the law, and some were turning back to the old ceremonial and Jewish rites of the law. Paul called it a yoke of bondage. They were turning to circumcision. And circumcision, we know, was only a portion of the law. And those who kept the law, we know, were obligated to keep the whole law. Paul said in verse 4, he said, "Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." Well, somebody might say they never were saved if they went by the law. I beg to differ with you. Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 7 says, "You did run well. Who did hinder you? You should not obey the truth." Well, how did they run well? How did they obey the truth? You have to have the grace of God to run well. And you have to have the grace of God to obey the truth.
Yeah.
Why? Because truth sometimes can be real hurtful, especially if you feel you're guilty. And you have to have grace, the strength of God, to overcome and obey it. Galatians 3:3, listen to what he said. "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh?" We have to have the grace of God to be saved. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verse number 8, Paul writing to the Ephesians says this, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." It takes grace to save us, and it takes grace to keep us. Listen to Paul's testimony. Writing to the Corinthian brethren, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." All Christians could say the same thing. We are what we are by the grace of God.
Amen.
If you're a Christian, you are what you are.
Amen.
By the grace of God.
Amen.
It's the grace of God that teaches you and I how to live. And the Bible lets us know it appeared to all men. Titus, the second chapter, verse number 11. Listen to what Paul writes to Timothy, or to Titus. He said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." What's it do? It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Grace is a teacher to all men. We can be cut off from God. The Bible tells us plainly we can, through unbelief. Paul, in a Roman letter, is speaking to Gentiles. And listen to what he says. We'll go to the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, and we're going to come down to verse number 20, and listen to what he says about what he calls the natural branches. Romans 11 and 20 beginning. He said, "Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore," what? "The goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be" what? "Cut off." Cut off from what? Goodness. "And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." Paul in this lesson is speaking to the Gentiles, and he brings up Israel of old as an example. He is saying that Israel was cut off because of unbelief. He warned the Gentiles that the same thing could happen to them. Then he went on to say in verse 23 that God is able to graft them in again. Why would they have to be grafted in again? Amen. If they were still in.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, grafted in again. And he said in verse 22, be cut off. What does that mean? It means cut off from goodness and given severity. Let's leave the Roman letter and let's go to another scripture in the last book of the Bible. And I say, before we go there, if you're one that believes this doctrine of once in grace, always in grace, then you have to just flat out ignore the scriptures. Not only go by what the church teaches, but study things for yourself.
Yes.
Amen. You have that right. You have a Bible. There is the Spirit of God. Search the scriptures yourself and see if what I'm saying is the truth, and also see what your pastor is saying, amen, lines up with the Word of God.
Amen.
Now we're going to the last book of the Bible, and it's found in the book of Revelation, third chapter. And here John is writing to the church at Sardis. the third chapter, and we're going to begin down at verse number 4, not the first verse, but verse number 4 and 5. Listen to what John writes. Amen. This is the voice of Christ. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I'll not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I'll confess his name before my Father and before his angels. What's he saying? He's saying overcomers are in the book of life. Overcoming what? Somebody that stays in sin is not overcoming anything. Romans 12:21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcomers, he said, are in the book of life. According to the scriptures, we are overcomers and our names are in the book of life if we're saved. But we have to be overcomers. Also, we found in the same scripture that if we fail to stay overcomers, our name can be what? Blotted out. Those who are in the book of life have life. They have spiritual life. Those who are not in the book of life, they don't have spiritual life. Those who are in the book of life also are overcomers. Those who don't have spiritual life have been overcome. Turn with me to Revelation, the 20th chapter. Let's read about the book of life. Just a few verses. Start with verse number 12. Revelation 20, same book, 20th chapter. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is what? The book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. No doubt one book for the old covenant, one for the new. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Verse 14, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, which is separation. Amen. Final separation from God and right. Verse 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The book of life. Revelation, the third chapter, verse 4 and 5, lets us know we can be blotted out. Well, if we're blotted out, we're not going to make it when it comes to the final judgment. Because it says, whoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Sin will blot your name out of the book. Moses, everybody knows that story of Moses and the golden calf. Moses had just got back in the camp of Israel after being in the mountain with the Lord. And while he was gone, during his absence, Israel fell into idolatry. They made a golden calf as their god. And in Exodus 32 and 30, Moses is upset. And he says this, it came to pass, Exodus 32 and 30, came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin. And now I go up unto the Lord, peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Well, listen to what God answers. Listen to what God says. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Sin removes your name from God's book. Well, let's take a look and let's see how Peter describes the results of sinning. Turn with me to 2 Peter, second chapter again. And let's go to verse number 20. 2 Peter 2 and 20. It says this, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again tangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Amen. There's that word overcome again. And if corruption overcomes you, amen, he said the latter end is worse than the first. Mm-hmm. Who are the ones that escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Back up to the first chapter. Go right back to the first chapter, and we read in 2 Peter 1 and 3. It says this, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. In the second chapter, Peter says pollutions. But here in the first chapter, he says corruptions. What's that mean? Contaminated. Contaminated. Peter said if they become entangled again and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And if they had known the right way and embraced it and become entangled again, he is saying their situation is worse than when they started. There is a tremendous responsibility that knowledge brings. Turn with me to 2 Peter, the second chapter. Let's go to verse 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Peter's quoting. He's quoting scripture out of the proverb. We read in Proverbs 26 and 10, it says, the great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Mm-hmm. And I don't know of anything more disgusting than what Peter and the proverb writer used. Use some of the most disgusting words you could use to illustrate, amen, how it'd be like if a man returned to his old lifestyle that he had before he knew Christ. I say it's a wonderful experience when one is saved.
Amen.
But to remain saved, one must continue on in the paths of righteousness.
Yes.
Jesus spoke these words to the Jews, and the Bible says the Jews which believed on him. He said this in John 8:31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. The next verse says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Paul, when he was admonishing the young pastor, Timothy, given him advice. He said in 1 Timothy 4:16, he said, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, as we be prepared to begin to close, we want to consider some scriptures that will help us to consider the truth with greater understanding.
Amen.
1 Timothy 4 and 1 says, now the Spirit, now that's got a large S on it. And when it's large S, in the King James, it means what? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit speaketh expressly or clearly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying, some shall depart from the faith. Ephesians 4 and 5 said there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. They don't go to another faith, for there's only one faith. Then we read in 1 Timothy 5 and 11, says, but the younger widows refuse, for when they begin to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. Here Paul writes, some have cast off the faith. Some have departed. Now he writes, some have cast off the faith. 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them might wars a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith and made shipwreck. Some have departed, some have cast it off, some have made shipwreck. 1 Timothy 5:15, for some have already turned aside from Satan, or after Satan. He writes, some have turned aside after Satan. What do these scriptures, every one of these scriptures point to? The fact that we can lose out with God. We can depart from the faith. We can cast off the faith. We can make shipwreck, amen, and we can just turn aside after Satan. Mm-hmm. Every one of those scriptures I repeat point to the fact that we can lose out with God, amen, and become and depart, amen, from the faith in God. Mm-hmm. Galatians 5 and 4. Christ has become no effect on you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Falling from grace, which saves us and keeps us. All these scriptures I read teach what? That we can fall. We don't have to. God certainly doesn't want us to. But we can fall from grace. Most of the New Testament writing is a warning to the child of God, what? To be careful, to maintain our relationship with Almighty God. Most of that New Testament is not written just to the out and out sinner. It's written to ones like you and I,
amen,
who have started on this way. Why? Giving us instructions. Given us teaching. Why? That we can maintain our spiritual walk with Christ. The doctrine of once in grace, always in grace has a tendency to cause ones to be careless in their walk with Jesus. And I say it's not a time to be careless, not a time to be half-hearted, but rather a time to be real careful and loyal to our God. It's a time to draw closer than ever.
Amen.
While nominal religion and the world turn more and more to perversion, God's children should be turning more and more to godliness. I trust, as we begin to close and in our closing, you examine the scriptures and see if what I've preached is the truth. The truth will always stand inspection.
Drifting away from Jesus, far from his gentle fold, wrecked on the waves of sorrow, out in the night so cold. Drifting away from Jesus, day after day I glide. Swiftly the billows bear me over the surging tide. Drifting away from Jesus, helpless and tossed with care. Soon I shall land forever, somewhere I know not where. Oh, am I lost forever, lost amid fiendish din? Oh, can there be no lifeboat on the dark ocean of sin? Drifting away from Jesus, far from his course of love. Oh, do you see a lifeboat? Sails from the ports above. Over the bounding billows, Jesus, my Savior, sends help to my storm-tossed spirit. Praise to the friend of friends. Join us now in prayer as we close out this service tonight.
Precious Father, we thank thee for the very help that you give us.
Amen.
Lord God, to bring these thoughts. And we pray that the thoughts will help ones to a closer walk with thee.
Yes.
Help us, Lord God, tonight, Lord, as we, another Lord's Day, Lord God, have done our best, Lord God, to share the gospel with our brothers and sisters. Help us tonight is our prayer.
Yes.
We do pray again for our world with this coronavirus.
Yes.
Lord, that you would help, Lord God, and help ones that have been affected. And those families where death is entered in. And also we ask you, Lord God, to control this virus. Lord God, bring it under control. Lord God, where the people can return to a normal life. The church can get back to its function of assembling together and laboring for thee. Help us tonight is our prayer. Lord, we need you so much. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.